Remember the 5th of November. Gunpowder, treason and plot, no less. Welcome back to, I can't believe it's November already. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of It's All French to Me. So I hope you enjoyed the last episode, which was the Halloween special. If you haven't listened to it yet, please do so. Let me know what you think, as always. So this episode is going to include recommendations for a great film, one of my absolute favourites. I say that about a lot of them, but this one, I think it's a lot of people's favourites, to be honest. Then you've got a really good song as well. And this song, I think, is actually one of the all-time favourites in modern-day France, at least. I'm actually going to be doing, for the first time ever, I'm going to be looking at a poem. Now, I'm not poetic by any stretch of the imagination, but I do have a couple of books on poetry, and this one kind of stood out to me. And then if you're not completely bored by that point, I'm going to be recommending my favourite ever French restaurant. There's several of them around Paris, but they are speciality from the Landes region of France, if you ever get to that area. But before all that, I thought I'd tell you a little story of the Tin Tin Tin. So I don't hide the fact that I love France, especially with my work colleagues. And a few years ago, in a previous job that I had, a group of us who worked together all decided to go on a little outing or a little jolly to Paris. We had a great time, visited all the main sightseeing attractions. And before we came home, we thought we'd do a bit of stocking up on French delicacies in the local hypermarket. So the one where, closest to where we were staying is called Auchan. It's a great, a lot of people would know Auchan. It's a huge company. It's got the little bird as the logo, the little red bird. And amongst the bits and bobs that we were buying to take back, we found a tin of chocolates. So it was quite, it's about the size of like an A4 sheet of paper. So it's like a celebration kind of tin that you get at Christmas time. And it was coming up to Christmas as well. So I think that was the intention of the market. But this particular tin had, was Tintin themed. So it's got, on the top, it's got a fantastic picture of Tintin. And then around the side as well, it's got, you know, different images of Tintin's adventures. I'm a huge fan of Tintin, by the way. So this appealed to me straight away. I thought, oh, this is amazing. I mean, not only for the chocolate inside, but, you know, you can keep the tin afterwards. You can keep it to store things in, which I still do. So when I pointed this out to my friends, one of them actually said, oh, I want one of those. It looks great. I want one of those. So she bought one as well as the one that I bought. Didn't think anything of it until the week after when we returned back to work. So we're in the office, we're telling all our other, it's quite a big office where I used to work, and we were telling all our other colleagues what we got up to, how the holiday went. The lady that who'd bought the other tin, not my tin, but the other tin, had bought it to bring back to the office to share the chocolates with the rest of the office. So it was getting handed round. And so everyone was sort of admiring the tin, you know, because it is quite unusual. What happened next is now referred to as Tin 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 Gate. Basically, in a nutshell, certain other people in that office liked the look of the tin so much they thought that if the owner who bought it for everyone didn't want it back, I think they thought that they might just squirrel it away. So cut to a couple of days later when the owner of the tin said, oh, where's the tin gone? Has everyone had all the, has the tin finished the chocolate? So I wonder what happened to the tin. Somebody then said that they'd seen it in another person's desk. Well, all I know is there were tears, there were arguments, there was huffing and puffing, there was stomping out of the office. there was a right how's your father about the tin, 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 which I just found hilarious, the whole situation. I mean, it's grown women fighting over an empty tin when it comes down to it. All I could think of myself was, thank goodness I didn't bring my tin in. So I hope you enjoyed that saga from what can happen if you buy a desirable looking tin in France. Deja Vu film review. So the film I'm going to talk about this episode is one of the all-time great works of French cinema. It's definitely one of the most successful. It's, according to Wikipedia, it grossed $174 million at the box office, which I think is quite unusual for a French language film. So it actually came out when I lived in France. For those of you who don't know anything about Amélie at all, it also goes by the title of Le Fabuleux Destin d'Amélie Poulain, so The Fabulous Destiny of Amélie Poulain. So I'll just give you a quick summary of the plot. So Amélie Poulain, she had a very lonely childhood. She develops an imaginary friend and she uses her imagination in everyday life, basically, and imagines all sorts of things. At the age of 18, she leaves home and becomes a waitress at the Café des Deux Moulins, which is actually in Montmartre. The whole story takes place in Montmartre, which is a area of Paris. It's a very famous area where a lot of the artists and free thinkers used to live. It's on the hill leading up to the Sacré-Cœur, the big basilica cathedral, very famous in France, and it's not far from the red light district as well, which was depicted in Baz Luhrmann's film, fantastic film, Le Moulin Rouge, which is the story of the famous dance hall, which still exists today. Going off topic here, so the Café des Deux Moulins, it's a real place, it does really exist in real life. This is one of the things that I love about this film, the fact that it links real life events and places into the fictional story as well, so you really feel invested in the film knowing about the setting and the events that take place. So again, taken from Wikipedia, it says she is single, working at this cafe, which is frequented by a collection of eccentrics. She's single and lets her imagination roam freely, finding contentment in simple pleasures like dipping her hand into grain sacks and cracking creme brulee with a spoon. There's some very funny scenes at the beginning of the things that she does for fun. So I won't give the entire plot away, but the story really starts when the death of Princess Diana is announced on TV, which is one of those things you can remember where you were when you heard the news, just like when JFK was shot. So she's in her apartment when the news breaks on the TV, and she's so shocked that she drops a perfume bottle lid, I think. She drops it on the floor and it rolls under some furniture and it knocks the skirting board down and revealing a little hiding place behind the skirting board. And so she looks behind the skirting board and finds this little tin, which was put there by one of the previous tenants of the apartment that she lives in. And it's a little tin of all little childhood toys of this boy who hid it there like many years ago. So she's curious about who it belongs to and goes on a little adventure to try and reunite this box with the owner, which of course she does. But in doing so, along the way, she meets lots of other characters who help her and she gets to meet. So by doing this, by reuniting this little box with its original owner, she kind of gets a feeling of doing good for people, an accomplishment. So she decides that she wants to help other people as well. So there's all the different characters that she comes across. She in different ways she helps them out. So in the end, she ends up helping out all these different people with their daily lives and their problems. And that's what she feels like she was put on earth to do, basically. And then in the end, it actually does become a love story. She ends up finding love, true love herself. So it's a fantastic script, a really good cast of French actors. And there's some very famous comedic names in there as well. I know films are very personal choices for different people. So even if it's not everybody's cup of tea, if nothing else, the soundtrack is incredible. The entire soundtrack is by a French composer called Yann Tiersen, who uses the accordion and violin to create incredibly authentic French sounding music. That's all I can, the way I could describe it. I mean, imagine Edith Piaf, but created in a modern, in today's style, if that makes any sense. Look it up anyway. Look up the soundtrack as well. I regularly listen to the songs of Yann Tiersen. It's a real feel-good, uplifting music soundtrack as well, which accompanies the film very well as well. Another reason why I love this film is it really makes you feel like you're in Paris, and it really transports you there. I mean, this is helped by all the filming, obviously, even more so for people who know Paris, because it features so many different famous landmarks around Paris. Well, I say famous landmarks, sorry, not that famous, actually. It's an everyday sort of places, if that makes sense, not the famous, apart from the Sacré-Cœur. The rest of the location is around Paris, but they're not actual famous landmarks. Two of the places featured in the film I recognise incredibly well, because I used to walk past a set of steps which Emily is seen sitting on at the Gare de l'Est. I used to walk past every single day, twice a day, on my way into work and back from work at the Gare du Nord, because I had to walk past the Gare de l'Est to get to the Gare du Nord. Equally, the Canal Saint-Martin. So there's a scene in the film where she's squatting on a set of locks on the Canal Saint-Martin, and she's skimming pebbles along the water. And that canal I used to go to very often. It's a very scenic area of Paris, and there's lots of nice little shops around there as well. So it's the places in the film as well which really make it watchable and make it likeable. Also worth adding, since the film has been so successful, somebody has actually written a musical, and I think it's actually touring. It was definitely before the COVID pandemic, but I think it's actually touring the UK even now. I haven't seen the musical, so it'd be interesting. I've heard a couple of the songs, but it would be interesting to see how they put this on stage, actually. The film stars Audrey Tautou, who's gone on to have some big starring roles in other films, especially English language films as well. So she has become one of my favourite French actresses. So hope you enjoy. Let me know if you have already seen it. Please let me know what you thought. Any particular bits in the film that stand out, let me know. And hope you enjoy if you haven't seen it. La musique. So for this next segment, I'd like to welcome my hubby, a.k.a. Miss Ruby V, and also our very good friend and musical impresario, Mr. Andy D. So you might remember in episode one of the podcast.
Somebody won't. Hang on, I might.
The cheek.
So I listened to it the other day.
Listened to it yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I mentioned the reason why I love the French so much. And I said, I'll talk about that a bit later.
I don't remember that.
Brilliant. So the reason is, for those of you who don't know, is I'm rather a large fan of Miss Céline Dion. Yeah, you can see where this is going, can't you?
Can I just chip in there for a moment?
Unbelievable.
I've never heard anyone play the bit in Celine Dion's song, It's All Coming Back to Me Now, like Andrew does on the piano. When we used to own a piano, Andy came over one Christmas, sat down at the piano, and suddenly went, da-da-dun-dun-dun-dun, da-da-dun-dun-dun-dun. I mean, like, you know, fuck me, was I being in Vegas?
Oh,
It was, actually.
Okay.
It was.
And I've got it on video, so we may even post it for you, listeners.
We may on the Instagram account. It's All French Too.
That's very kind of you to remember and to say so.
But
I don't remember it being that good.
Right, let me find it, darling. Oh, let me find it, sweetheart. because I happen to have it quite handy.
No, we'll do it live. It's fine. We'll wait.
Because I'll be honest with you, I do listen to it on occasions.
So listen,
it kind of blew me away. Sorry, carry on, dear.
So listeners, podcast, not mine. So listeners, just to clarify, this isn't the song that is going to be reviewed this episode, because it's not actually a French song. But of course, Celine Dion is French Canadian, so we'll get away with that.
I could probably record a much better version of this if you wanted.
So this is really embarrassing. Yes, I do want it.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is really embarrassing because I can't find it now.
That's brilliant. We're still rolling, Miss Ruby.
Crap, that means I've got some work to do now.
Right? Oh, here we go. Okay, ready?
So can I just apologise how out of tune that piano was?
That piano was amazing.
That was horrendous, wasn't it?
No, but it's got an almost ruined sound to it. Which
it was ruined when we got it. I think we got it for about a fiver off eBay. I think
it's in some situations that's quite a desirable sound.
Oh right. Okay.
Yeah. So. Maybe not for It's All Coming Back to Me Now, but
okay.
It can be a good thing.
Right, so getting back to the song that we're going to review,
which is
drum roll, please. Can Andy guess what it is?
It's got to be French, hasn't it?
It has got to be French.
It's got to be French. Is it Tu M'aimes Encore?
Well done. It is. It's Pour Que Tu M'aimes Encore by Miss Céline Dion, which is, I think it's still to date, her largest selling French song. Would you agree, or has it probably been overtaken now?
If it has, I don't know what with.
Okay. So the meaning of Pour Que Tu M'aimes Encore literally means so that you still love me. So the lyrics of the song are all ways of things that she'll do to ensure the person she loves will still love her. Does that make sense? So basically, Pour Que Tu M'aimes Encore is the reason, I think personally, the reason why I speak French.
Wow.
And my love of France.
Wow.
Yeah, because do you remember when we wanted to sing, we wanted to perform Pour Que Tu M'aimes Encore in school, but we didn't actually know what the words meant.
Yeah, so they could have been pornographic.
They could have been, absolutely. Luckily, they weren't, yeah. Luckily. So we went to somebody who could translate them. And then I...
Was that before the days of the internet, then?
Yeah, I think it actually was. Wow. I actually think it was. Huh. Uh-huh. So it was leading up to, we decided to put on a charity gala concert for Miss Celine Dion. No, that's not right.
There were many concerts.
There were many concerts in school.
Did little bits.
Yeah.
We did little bits bits in.
Yeah.
So they were very sort of traditional school concerts where you have, your orchestras and your brass bands. And,
yeah.
And soloists playing whatever instruments. And We just thought that they needed like livening up a little
bit. Yeah, we did.
So
yeah,
and we thought
like gaying up a bit.
Livening slash gaying up a bit. Yeah. What better way to do that than with a French Celine Dion song?
Ballad.
Ballady sort of, yeah. Slightly more up tempo y.
Indeed. So I actually sang the song, not knowing really what on earth I was singing about at the time.
There must have been really responsible teachers.
Accompanied by the fantastic Andy D on piano, wasn't it?
Actually, no, I can't actually remember that one. I can remember that one.
Ever since then, my love for Celine Dion has gone from strength to strength. And that's why I wanted to learn French and spend time in France.
It's a lot to put on a song, though, isn't it?
It is.
Just come out like, but one song. Yeah, that much.
It is. Well, but you say it is, but I think that that's what it was all about, really.
That's quite
significant. Yeah, absolutely. So the song itself, Andy, take it away.
The song itself is from the album, I never know how to pronounce it.
All By Myself?
Let's talk about love. There's no difference from... There's... Right, so... the word de in this sense means of them.
Of them.
Uh-huh. But it is without the apostrophe. Exactly the same spelling for the number two. And there's no difference in pronunciation as well. Right. But it means of them. Or them, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's fine. So it's on the album. It's from around like 1994. Was that the entirely, what's his name,
Jean-Jacques Goldman? Yes, it was second collaboration, of course, with CDMA.
Written and produced.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And is the first track? Is it the first track on the album?
I think it is actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
so it's like bang straight in with the the most famous single from the album. And I kind of like it because it's in like two halves. So the first half is kind of...
Yes, it is.
...slightly more sort of low-key. And then it kind of switches halfway through. It's sort of the drum beat sort of comes in a
bit. Up-tempo.
Yeah, it's the same tempo. It's same tempo, but it's just that the drums come in and it's a bit more kind of lively and a bit more... dramatic. Towards the end, so it's kind absolutely of like a sort of two half
absolutely
thing going on.
The song itself is actually very is a love story. It's quite sad, really. But the video. Do you remember the video?
No.
Ah, great video where Celine's walking barefoot through the streets of Paris at night, and then ends up walking through a. I think she's a bit traumatised or something. And she's sort of in a nightdress walking through the streets of Paris barefoot at night. And then at the end, she's in a field and she's just walking off into the distance in a field. And there's a bit of symbolism and tarot cards, I think, if I remember, in there as well somewhere. But but she's basically saying, you know, I'll do anything for you to love me again. That's the main purpose of the translation. That leads on perfectly to cut to how many years later to its Falling Into You album.
Falling Into You album, 1996.
Is it Falling Into? Yeah, it is.
96.
Yeah. Where she records an English language version of the song called If That's What It Takes.
If That's What It Takes. Falling Into You. Not really much more to say about that. Pretty much the same track, but with the English. It's not a direct translation, is it?
It's not.
Completely different. They've just rewritten
the lyrics.
The meaning is all different.
But
same backing. Slightly.
What's it?
Slight difference in the like production in the sound. You know. The soundtrack, but
okay.
It's more or less the same as.
So I'm just thinking back to a recent concert that I went to in Paris, of Celine's, where she sang. Pour tout même encore. I think she closed the show with it actually, because for France, it's an iconic song in France, and what I remember from that song is everyone did the classic thing, got their lighters out for the waving the lighters about, or their phones actually. I think it was probably.
I guess in sort of impact wise, I always equated it to like Think Twice, Think Twice in the UK. So Think Twice was that a number one?
Yeah,
in
oh god,
the UK?
Yeah.
So, around about the same time.
Yeah, 1994.
Was it four?
All I know is she had to break off her. She had to come home from her honeymoon to the UK to do a live performance. No, it wasn't. I'm talking rubbish. She was on her honeymoon, and because it was number one for such a long time, they needed a live performance on Top of the Pops.
Right.
A second performance, because she'd already done the first live one in London. But they were on her honeymoon, wherever it was, and she did a live recording from Walking Along the Beach for Top of the Pops in the UK, I think twice.
Wow. There you go. So, yeah, Pour tout même encore, big Celine Dion French language song. Still a classic.
Check it out. Hope you enjoy. Let me know what you think if you do listen to it. So here goes my very first ever recommendation of a French poem. Well, actually, I'm going to recommend the book that the poetry comes from. So this is a book that I bought quite a long time ago. It's called Paroles Amoureuses. It's by Albin Michel. And its tagline is L'amour, une source qui a soif. It's a really nice book, really beautifully illustrated as well. So each page is a different poem, and each poem has got a different illustration on it. So this is one of my favourites, actually. I mean, I don't read the book very often, but every once in a while, I'll have a look. Geste à Julien, it's called. So it's by François de Cognières. So the poem goes, fin de dimanche gris avec toi dans mes bras, un ciel net partagé par la nuit qui vient. En marche, place de la gare, des milliards de moignons dans les arbres. Ton index pointé, entre velours et laine, la chaleur d'un geste immense, acéré contre moi. Vite, plein le cœur. It's basically about the feeling of love just from being close to someone. So I'll just break it down. Fin de dimanche gris, so end of a grey Sunday, with you in my arms, a clear sky shared by the approaching night, where we walk. So Place de la Gare, they're kind of like town squares. There's quite a few in different towns around France and other countries as well, in Quebec as well. There's many kind of town squares. I mean, it's literally place of the station. So if your town's got a station in France, there's quite a good likelihood that you're going to have a Place de la Gare in your town. Des milliers de moineaux dans les arbres. So thousands of sparrows are in the trees. Your pointed index finger. So between velours and wool, the warmth of an immense gesture against me. And then vite plein le cœur. That's how it ends. So vite, hurry, plein le cœur, my heart is full. So make of that as you will. Let me know if you have any other French poems that you're fond of, or any other recommendations for poetry books as well. Hope you enjoyed. So this is the very first ever recommendation of a restaurant in France. Once again, it's in Paris. So this is my absolute all-time favourite restaurant in France. A couple of reasons for this. So the restaurant is called Chez Papa, or At Dad's Home, translated roughly At Dad's Home, or At Papa's Home. It's actually a chain of restaurants now. The original one opened in 1987, and it was in the 10e arrondissement, which was the original. There's now 14 of them dotted around Paris in different arrondissements. The reason why I discovered this one is because I had a friend who lived close by to the restaurant, and it was recommended to me. So I've been going since I lived in France, and every time we go to visit on holiday, we always try our utmost to go and eat there at least once during the holiday. Now, you might think, what's so special about this? Really, it's a combination of things. It specialises in French food from the southwest region. So it's the Landes, L-A-N-D-E-S, region of France. The atmosphere is just the most typical French atmosphere that you can imagine. If it could be conjured up in one word, it's rustic. It's not haute cuisine. It's down to earth, good plain food. Also, I have to also add at this point, not expensive as well, which is another big thing that really attracted me to it as well. So their specialities, fortunately, the original restaurant in the 10th arrondissement, which was Rue Lafayette, it has now closed down, actually. But as I said, there are still 14 other ones open in and around Paris. Now, the speciality which I always go for are their hot salads. Now, you might think salad shouldn't be hot. These ones, you won't be saying that if you tried one of these ones. Basically, if you can imagine a basic salad with a lovely French dressing on, of course, but then they also add hot bits and bobs on top of the salad. So they add things like lardons, so like bacon, also fried egg, jambon cru, Parma ham, that's what I'm trying to say, Parma ham. And then also garlic potatoes, hot garlic potatoes as well, on top as well. It's incredible. I mean, and then it comes in a great big, it looks like a casserole dish, actually, that it comes in. It's quite deep. I mean, I remember I could never even usually get through a whole dish, to be completely honest. They do other very typical French dishes. For example, snails they do. So they do a lot of duck, migré de canard, as well as veal, escalops. And I've just seen they actually even do a burger, which they never did when the last time I was there. They never did this, but they now do a burger as well. So just to give you an idea from their website, what they actually say. Le partenariat chez Papa est une formule de restauration à thème mettant en valeur les produits et les recettes de la famille du Sud-Ouest. Yeah, so it's a formula of themed dining, putting the products and the recipes from the family, Southwest family. That's their values, basically. Le client fait un retour aux sources dans le cadre d'une histoire mythique et magique. He turns to their sources in a mythical and magical way, basically. So the restaurant is... Papa, c'est un art de vivre au naturel, un concept campagnard et paysan, l'évocation d'une région qui propose des valeurs authentiques du terroir. C'est toute une histoire. It's a real story, a concept of the countryside, traditional cooking, evoking from the region, proposing the authentic values from the way of living. Le concept est général, mais chaque restaurant est unique. So it's a general concept, but each restaurant is unique. Et le concept Papa se différencie des autres concepts de restauration à thème par son intégration dans un établissement existant. Il échappe à la standardisation aujourd'hui rejetée par les consommateurs. So the concept of the restaurant is different from other themed restaurants by its integration into an existing establishment, an existing building. It escapes the today's standardisation, which has been rejected by the diners. So anyway, this is I highly recommend, if you're in Paris in the near future, look it up, Chez Papa. You won't be disappointed. I'm sure that you won't be. I know it's quite a thing to say, but I'm quite sure you won't be disappointed if you want traditional French cuisine. If you want to experience a good French traditional meal, let me know what you think. So that brings us to the end of the episode. I hope you enjoyed. Just before I go, I'm just going to do a quick shout out. If anyone can spare any pennies, this is just to let people know that on the 27th of November, I will be taking part in the Red Run London event, which is a big event which raises money for people living with HIV in the UK. And the charity which the money goes to, which I'm raising money for, is the Terence Higgins Trust. So if anyone can spare anything at all, and if you'd like to sponsor me, my link is in my bio of my Instagram page. It's All French 2. If you just search for It's All French 2 without the me on the end. Or if you want details of the link to of my Just Giving page, if you want to give me any feedback on any of the items in this episode, my email address is itsallfrenchtome@outlook.com. So I hope you enjoyed that episode. So join me next time in a fortnight's time, where I will be catching up with an old friend who I used to work with at Disneyland, reminiscing on everything French. So it'll be my first episode where I've got a proper guest on. So I hope you can join me then. So until next time, thanks for listening. Et à bientôt.